It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
People mocking the Yankees for this, and I don't see it that way myself. I look at it and say, hey, the Yankees are smarter and better than everybody else, and I don't think their weekend overall was a product of the torpedo bats. I think you got to give the Yankees some credit here.
I think you have to as well. There's obviously a lot of layers here. I mean, listen, I think it's easy to jump in and kind of knock the Yankees around around the baseball world. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, being too married to analytics. We've talked about that. The Dodgers kind of outsmarted them a few times with the deferrals. Like, we're like, all right, Yankees, where's the next wave of innovation here? Well, here we are, and it's going to be incredibly interesting to see, you know, what the rest of baseball does, how it's policed, what transpires the next couple of weeks. We've got to get more data here, obviously, but no, there's no doubt. The Yankees looked at something, they applied it, and then they created something nobody else created quite as well, and now it's up to the rest of baseball to catch up.
Okay, so with that being said, I do think eventually they are going to be outlawed or there will be rules put in place to prevent this, because we are only scratching the surface here. This is one weekend. It's put these things on the map where the torpedo bats have been being used as recently as last year with certain teams. The Cubs, I think, will reference. Bellinger had mentioned that. Yeah, okay, so fine. So it's not like this is a brand new thing, but the Yankees just did it bigger and better than everybody else. And now it's got the attention of everybody in the sports world, let alone the baseball world. And generally, when we see things like this happen, there becomes a rule that's put in place, and they're going to try to level out and get back to the norm.
I don't know how they can. I know that there's going to be an outcry for that. I get it. I think probably about 15 years. I remember this was a big thing with Mickelson with the grooves on his lob wedges, like, which obviously creates like a reverse spin and gets the ball to stick more. Like, they kind of they changed that, they tweaked that a little bit. Certain balls you cannot use. I don't know how you could take a piece of wood and tell somebody, as long as it complies with it can't be longer than 43 inches, right, for those who don't know. The diameter's got to be, I forget, with the 2.5, right, whatever it is. But as long as it's within that specification, where you choose to distribute the weight, I don't know how they're going to possibly police that out of the game.
Well, for now, that's the rules. But we've seen these things before, whether it is the spider tack stuff, the sticky stuff. The games always come up with ways, people in the game come up with ways to kind of bend the rules a little bit or maximize the legal parameters.
Always.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's the adjustment. Whether it's it could be the tush push, which you're seeing now, where you had the Eagles. Was it them being smarter than everybody else? Maybe, mm-hmm. right? They had the physical guys to do it. They come up with that idea. They come up with the tush push. And what's been happening for 2 years? People said, oh, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. And now we're getting to a spot where maybe there's a conversation about rules being put in place where you can't do that. So right now, it's not illegal. And I do give the Yankees credit for being smarter about it. I think eventually, the bigger this story becomes, and I really do believe we're only scratching the surface, there are going to be rules put in place. What they are exactly, who knows? But whether it's weight distribution within the barrel, certain diameter from the trademark, who the hell knows? But I do think that there's going to try to be a correction here if the Yankees continue to rake with it.
You know, the Spider Tech and the PEDs, right?
Yeah.
Two things that were obviously policed, you know, with great vigor. The Spider Tech, correct me if I'm wrong, like that was never a rule in the rule book until they modified stuff. Same with PEDs,
yeah.
Which is why a lot of players say, well, it wasn't illegal. It may have been immoral, unethical, against the grain of baseball, you know, valor, if you will. And even in the real world, like if you get caught, you know, on I-80 with, you know, even back then with, you know, X amount of steroids for distribution, you're going to go to jail. So there was always... I think that when I look at the bat, I feel like this is different. I know they're going to try to police it. I know that there's going to be a lot of investigation into it. I know other teams will try to replicate
yeah.
it. I don't know how you can change. I mean, I guess, again, the way you say with the diameter, whatever. I don't think it's going to happen. Not anytime soon.
Would you make it legal?
I want to see some more. I don't listen. I love
that
my team.
It's not just about the Yankees.
I love that my team smacked 15 home runs this week. And by the way, Aaron Judge hit four yeah. uses a normal
yeah,
bat.
Yeah,
so Judge is still the man. Do I want to see 15 home runs every? I personally don't. I don't want to see that for baseball. I don't want to see it for the Yankees. I don't want to see it for the Mets. I don't want to see it where every night is 13-7, you know, 15-8, 9-7. I don't think that that's good for baseball, but I don't know if we can necessarily deduce that we will get that based on a three-game sequence
right.
where the Brewers are, I mean, their pitching is horrendous.
This is not just because of the torpedo bats. The Yankees have good, powerful hit. It's a combination of the Brewers stink, their pitching, especially Nestor Cortez, who's throwing batting practice. The Yankees have tremendous power hitters, specifically Aaron Judge. They also play in a ballpark that aided them. Like, what was more impactful, the torpedo bats or the ballpark? I could give you all the wall scrapers that the Yankees hit over the course of the first series. So it's that as well. There's a lot of factors here. It wasn't just the bats, but I do think, because what's going to happen here is it's going to get out of control, and every team is going to start to do it, and they're going to make these bats specific to the player's swing.
Yeah, but that's the interesting part.
Okay, but then there's going to be an adjustment on the other end where the pitchers say, okay, well, we've been pitching this guy inside, or
yeah.
and then they're going to
yeah.
start pitching back. Like, there's going to be adjustments made. I do believe eventually there is going to be a rule put in place to kind of, I don't want to say outlaw this stuff, but limit what they could do. And I do believe that would be best. Just like the Spider Tech stuff. Hey, I liked it when pitchers had better control and there were strikeouts.
Yeah.
But when it goes too far one way,
you got to recalibrate a little bit. Well, and that's an important point. I don't know that everybody quite understands this, but it's a small thing, but it's a massive thing. So they basically looked at every swing. We'll take Volpe. The physicist from MIT looked at every single swing, said he's got more of a tendency to hit the ball here based on every time the bat hit the ball, foul balls, balls in play, whatever. So they just transfer the weight, and obviously it looks like a torpedo bat. It's
yeah.
a different, but it is nuts. It looks like a softball bat. It really is pretty gross looking. I don't know how that's visually appealing to hitters, but it is. But Jazz's bat is different than Volpe's bat. And Bellinger's bat, where the mass is redistributed, is different than Jazz's bat, and so on and so on, and Goldschmidt. So I think that that's the risk here. You now can change patterns to pitching, and now it can become a massive disadvantage for the hitter. I don't know. I can tell you this. If this keeps up, they're not going to be able to do anything about it during the season. So it would have to be a 2026 thing. But I still think as long as that...
The Spider Tech in season?
Yeah, but it was. But okay. I don't think that was in the rule book. That's what I'm
right.
saying. I think that once it's done, it's because this is clearly defined in the rule book as diameter, length, clear specifications, I don't know how you possibly in the middle of a season say, no, you can't use this when it meets what you said you could use. Yeah,
but why not? Maybe they just say we made a mistake. And think about how old those rules are.
They are old.
And where we've evolved as a technologically sound society. Like I always say, we're too smart for our own good. It's the same thing with the iPhones. It sounds like a great idea, right? You have everything at the palm of your hand. Yeah, but then when you get the knuckleheads on the street driving with it, then it's not such a good idea. When you're looking at your phone, texting or doing this or that while you're on the road going 60, 70 miles per hour. So there are negatives to certain technological advances. And I'm not saying this, you know, apples to oranges here, obviously, with driving while texting and torpedo bats. But when those rules were put in place, I don't think anybody was thinking along these lines now that the Yankees are so forward-thinking and smarter than everybody else, and they have the technological advances that you can to come up with a bat specific to somebody's swing.
It is
based
amazing
on the data
about it.
And the analytics of where they hit the ball.
It's no different than golf. I mean, I heard Boomer and Gio talking about this, and you go for club fitting. They put like a sticker on the club face, and then they see where and they have, of course, you know, analytics and computers to back it up. But based on where the ball hits the face more times than not, they can shift the angle or the lie, as they call it, and you've got a club, a golf club, but it doesn't necessarily make it go further.
Right.
It just fits your swing. You don't think that this makes it go further, do you? You think this just increases the...
I do not think it makes it go further.
I don't think it goes further either.
I also don't think the Yankees' offensive outburst is a product of these bats. I mean, is Jazz a little bit better because of it in certain spots? Maybe. Is Volpe taking advantage of it? Maybe. I don't fully believe that it's all because of that.
I agree with you.
I think, as a matter of fact, I think the majority of it is because of other stuff. Like I mentioned before, the ballpark, the players being good, the pitchers not being good on the Brewers. I think those are bigger factors, but the torpedo bats are the thing that's caught people's attention. And the more you see players start to use these, which is going to happen.
Oh, my God, yeah. There were already a couple of guys used it over the weekend.
Right.
I told you, Bellinger used it for the Cubs last year. And this is important because we certainly give the Yankees credit, but we kind of glossed over it. Like, the Yankees were ahead of everybody on this. And this is a really next-level thought process. You give them credit. And, you know, I was surprised. Now, the word would have gotten out anyway. Were you surprised that Michael Kay went into it in the detail that he did? I mean, eventually everybody's going to know.
I guess I didn't think of it, BT, because when I saw that, it was so early on. It was before it became a thing. I think what happened is, yeah, he went over that, and it wasn't a huge deal.
And O'Neill weighed in as well. O'Neill was in a clubhouse. He said he was looking at the bats.
Okay, but I don't think it was as big of a deal because then the Yankees had the barrage of runs. That gave the torpedo bat story momentum to get to this next level. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get to the calls here. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And let's get to some of that midday madness, BT, with you on the phones right here. BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Larry is in upstate New York, wants to join the madness. What's up, Larry?
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. The thing about torpedo bats, if they're that good and they work, then no team should complain. They should all get them. But the only thing is on CBS Sports, they showed Lindor was using a bat. He's 0 for 11.
Is he using it this year? I have not noticed that.
I didn't see him using it.
Oh, maybe in his career he was using it. Maybe that's what you mean, Larry?
I don't know. On the Boomer and Gio show, they showed a picture of Lindor with the torpedo bat.
I heard he had used it before, and thank you for the call, Larry. I don't know what his numbers are with it, and I don't believe he was using it this year. I don't recall him using it last year when he was at his peak. It's something that you would notice if you're watching closely the different bat. I mean, I would think we'd notice that.
Yeah, you could tell. It's slick looking.
Right.
It's definitely different looking.
Now, after it being such a big deal, now I think you'd clearly notice it. But, I mean, I don't know in real time if you're watching it, would you be able to identify it?
Now that I'm looking for it, yeah. I think very fast. Yeah, because the tip is just, it's just different. Visually it's very different. But there's also a disadvantage. So if you had, and I understand the physics behind it. Hey, why am I going to waste all this wood, more mass at the end of the bat? You don't want to. You don't square up
a
ball.
You're supposed to be hitting it there anyway.
Yeah, if you hit it there, you're probably going to, you know, just flare one or whatever. You're not going to really hit it very well. So, but now you're lessening that even more. So you could still, I think, I can't prove this, but this will be part of the study. The back in the day, you could still kind of get away with one with hitting one towards the end of the bat. And maybe getting some hit, maybe not home runs, but getting some hits. But now that that's reduced even more, not even the desire, but I don't know, the necessity to hit the ball in one little teeny weeny tiny spot is amplified to the moon. So while as a hitter,
more margin for error,
if you hit it, as a hitter, if you hit it there, you're good. If you miss it there, you could be worse off than you were before you changed back.
Just thinking this out in real time, having this conversation, wouldn't the old school thought be, hey, you're hitting the bat, you're not barreling it up, you're hitting the ball here. Wouldn't they just suggest using a shorter bat? Because what you're then doing is bringing the barrel down a little bit. Again, I know this is different.
Yeah.
But wouldn't
that
be the old school? And now you're trying to... So what they're doing, instead of just shortening up the barrel...
I know what you're saying. You're making the repositioning the barrel without actually changing the mass.
But it's not just that. What they're doing is widening
the
barrel in the area where not just the sweet spot for
normal
people.
For sure. Well, here's the problem with that. And it's not a bad thought, but like if I'm used to, with say, a 34-inch, 31-ounce, just take that, right? And I, my whole life, you know, in the minors and in the pros, I've hit 34 or 35 inches, right? Now, all of a sudden, I'm used to, they're creatures of habits. Well, now they've also adapted to a new torpedo bat, so maybe they could adjust to this as well. But if you take away an inch or two to change the barrel, like you're talking about, now that outside pitch, instead of being able to flail it and foul it and extend it at bat or hit one, like it does change the ability to make contact, too.
Fair enough. But if you, I mean, like you said, that outside pitch, you would think that the way that these guys' barrels is now...
It's nuts, dude.
It's not conducive to that. It's fascinating stuff, really.
Another scandal in baseball. Yeah. Not scandal, but you know what I mean.
Joe is in Jersey City. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
What's going on, guys? Let me ask you a question. This weekend, this offseason, everybody's complaining about the Yankees not spending money, right? Maybe they spent the money on the scientists from IMT to create the bat.
Yeah, but then they let him go. He's with the Marlins now.
Oh.
He left. Yeah. Did you know that, Sal? He's with the Marlins.
I did. What the hell are you letting
this guy leave the building for?
Well, I mean, and obviously that's happened before with certain players that we don't need to mention right now. Yeah, I don't think it's about a money thing. I think the Yankees were just smarter, and it is forward thinking. I mean, I've never thought about, hey, if you're hitting the ball here. Now, we're also not looking at the analytics of every single player. So what happens is you hire an analytics department and you have every metric possible. This is where the guy's hitting the ball. This is where it is on the bat, the exact spot. This is what's going on. And somebody had the idea, the dude that went to the Marlins, whatever you want to call him, Larry, whatever, and saying, well, okay, well, if he keeps hitting it here consistently, why not move the fatter part of the bat down if you can make that work? Or with Jazz, move it up, whatever it may be. I mean, I think it's brilliant when you think about it. Get a bat that is conducive to where the player consistently hits the ball.
Yeah, but it really does take away the onus of squaring up the ball properly.
Well, still, to your point, though, you still have to do it. It's just more margin for error, maybe?
Yeah, but think about this. So take Volpe. Now, I don't know where the tendencies were for Goldschmidt and Bellinger and Jazz.
Right.
Okay? But I know with Volpe, that was the one of the stories I read more in depth, where his concentration of contact was, which was more around the trademark. If you are consistently hitting the ball at the trademark, you got problems.
You're doing something wrong.
Something's wrong with your swing.
Right.
So now, and by the way, Volpe only has two hits on the season, both home runs, one bare on opening day that just went over, and then he pulled one, and that was a good swing. But if you're going to now turn 230 hitters into different type of hitters based on their ability to now work around a deficiency, forget about Volpe, just in general, to me, fundamentally, that would be bad for baseball.
Right.
Because now you are rewarding players who have not been able to fix a hole in their swing.
Right.
And that's not good. It's not fair to the pitchers.
By kind of cheating the system with the bats. Legal.
But I don't use the word cheat, though. Okay, there you go. I can't say cheat.
No, it's legal, but you are, in
how
a way,
about
you're cheating the
manipulating
system.
Manipulating, maybe?
Okay, yeah, there you go. Taking advantage of the rules within the parameters.
Yeah.
You know, cheating, I don't mean it by the literal definition.
No, I got you.
You know, if somebody cheats inside or somebody, you know, cheats to steal an extra inch of taking a lead. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that they're cheating the game.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by that. I don't think the Yankees are doing anything. They're not doing anything wrong here.
They're doing everything right. Keep it up.
And by the way, maybe this corrects itself, to your point. I mean, it's not like Volpe's hitting 500 here.
Correct.
It's not softball exactly. I think this was a perfect storm of the Yankees being smart, forward-thinking, trying to help every one of their players, and being at home and abusing the crappy Brewers pitching staff with some lethal power.
Not Judge, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Judgy.
Okay, so who hit the most home runs? It's really Judge and Jazz that are the two guys. Yeah. I know others have done it, too. But.
Yeah.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Midday Madness with you on the phones, brought to you by Boost Mobile. When you buy 6 months on their best unlimited plans, Boost will give you another 6 months free. More of your calls when we come back, 888-808-1019. The reason I bring it up is not to congratulate you, although Colton.
No, nice kids played well. It's all good.
The kids.
Yeah.
I wonder now what this torpedo bat is going to do to the kids, because you know what's going to happen. You know better. They're going to see it, and they're going to say, we want a
That's
torpedo
funny
bat.
Say
no?
That, man. That is funny. I mean, first of all, the bat industry is an absolute racket. I mean, they've got they got more of a racket than, you know, when the mob was grabbing cigarettes off trucks in the 20s and 30s. I mean, these bats are $400 or $500 each. You outgrow them, especially if you're like 9, 10, 11, 12. You outgrow them by the year. And there's all different size, you know, shapes and sizes. And it's funny thing is, like, they don't have a torpedo bat. I think they do for softball. But they do have some of these models, and I don't like these myself, but where it's like very, it's a two-piece. All right, so a two-piece alloy, A-L-L-O-O-Y. It's like a type of titanium steel. And the barrel is separate from the handle, which is tin thin. So, Sal, imagine, like, almost like holding a golf club.
Right.
And then you have a
battle.
Fred Flintstone. It's just, it's ridiculous, dude. And some are juiced and some aren't. It's a racket.
Buster only reported last night during Sunday Night Baseball the Braves ordered torpedo bats after the Braves are 0-4. And we got to get some of those bats after the A's.
Get some for the bats.
Runs.
They could use a few, too.
Don't you think that everybody's going to start to follow now in their own way and say, hey, that's a great idea. Forget about just the torpedo bat.
I do.
It's not a magic wand.
Exactly.
What it is you're going to say, hey, well, if we can look at everybody's swing and see where they hit the ball the majority of the time, let's get bats dedicated to these guys' swing. I mean, it should be for each individual across baseball.
Okay, so with every action, there's always a reaction, especially in sports, right? Something to counteract what you just learned. Now it's up to me. The onus is on me as a player, as an organization, to counteract that. So, again, let's stick with Volpe because that's the most detailed analysis I've seen how they concentrated the weight in one spot based on his tendencies. If you know where he generally wants to hit the ball, why would you give him anything other than a slider on the outer portion of home plate, even fastball if you want to stay outside?
Right.
Because if the barrel now is reduced, like the end of the bat is reduced to what it was, you just paint the black. He's got no chance to hit it with any authority.
Well,
why would you come inside?
You would think that would be the case. I mean,
now they're not robots, so they might still miss here and there, but I mean, they're pro pitchers, they can hit spots.
Well, I mean, if Volpe's looking away, if he's, you know, say you're trying to throw a fastball to paint the outside corner, Volpe's looking away, I still think he'd be able to barrel it up even with his different battle.
Yes, but the margin for error, and this is more for a physicist than me, is reduced because now again, the end of the bat is not. The barrel does not extend the way it used to, which would enable him to hit that outside pitch.
Yeah. Who the hell knows?
What am I talking about? It's nuts. Torpedo bats. That's the only baseball,
right?
Hey,
why don't you bring in metal bats? I mean, maybe that'll be next.
Oh, God.
Does it say anything in the rule books about what material the bat has to be? Are we sure it's wood? I saw the diameter and all that stuff. And
it's
centimeters. Do we know it needs to be wood? If not, why not? Why not throw some metal on there? Mario's calling from Howell. What's up, Mario?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just think... don't you think this...
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm. I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This was more attributed to who was on the bump this weekend. I mean, Nestor and Savelli, these guys were throwing mozzarella up there. I mean, it had nothing to do. I mean, we're talking about Volpe. The guy's still batting under 200 through three games, right? It's such a small sample.
Yep.
But, you know, I think it's more attributed to who's on the hill. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, the Yankees play the Pirates after the D-backs, and I looked at the probable pitching matchups.
No Skeens, yeah.
Yeah, they miss him. I wanted to see, and then once Skeens would have been on the hill, there would have been no talk of torpedo bats. So that's my feeling on it. And Sal, remember, it's not the wand. It's the magician, baby.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mario. Thank you for the call. We said that before.
There you go.
You're right. I think there were multiple factors for why the Yankees had that outburst. Number one, look, we all know Nestor Cortez is not, like, come on. I like Nestor. I think the guy could be a gamer. Nestor Cortez against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium is a disaster waiting to happen. And you saw that disaster take place. Nestor's been throwing batting practice for, like, a year and a half now, so that's nothing new. Aaron Judge, this is what he does. I mean, Aaron Judge might hit 70 home runs one year. This is what he does. This is nothing new. He broke the home run record clean. So, okay, so check with Nestor. Check Judge. Yankee Stadium. Opening day, it wasn't talking about torpedo bats, BT. It was about the couple of wall scrapers that they, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but that's what it was. Well,
yeah,
is it the ball
hard? For sure.
I mean, they take advantage of the ballpark. That's been a thing forever.
So can the opponents.
Yeah.
The same wall. They don't move the wall back when they get up.
So to me, it's that the Yankees are just better than their opponent this weekend. The Yankees have mashers in that lineup. I mean, maybe with Jazz, I think, is the... I know we keep talking about Volpe, and I understand why. But Jazz also hit big home runs last year when he first got here.
That's almost what he 30 does. Home runs, Sal.
Okay, so that's what he does. He's going to hit probably 240.
Yeah.
And maybe... There are things about the games that we could get into, whether you're more concerned about Max Fried, the sloppy defense, the home run barrage covers up all that stuff. That is not sustainable. I don't care what bat you use. Torpedo bats. My ass, the torpedo bats. The Yankees deserve credit for the barrage, but the torpedo bats got the headlines because of the numbers that were being put.
I want to see some more baseball before... Yeah, listen, this is just the first reaction. Who knows? I mean, I don't really... nobody knows where this is going to go. I mean, listen, I could be dead wrong. Major League Baseball could intervene midseason and say, all right, this is ridiculous.
I think they will.
I don't, but I guess right. I'll leave the door open. I mean, if they're banging 15 home runs every three-game series, somebody's going to have to do something. But what it does do, and this is unfortunate, but it's okay. I think Yankee fans are good enough to deal with it. It obscures the improvements that they made. Because think about, and by the way, Boone pushed some nice buttons. When he put Wells up top, yard. Goldschmidt up top, yard. Like, the lineup has lengthened. The pitching, and as you talk about the defense, although I think Fried making the error, he's a gold glover. I'm not too worried about him. You know, but I think that this Yankees offense, and this is a small sample, this is something I was very interested to see. I want to see Dominguez get going. But think about this. Goldschmidt's got some life. Judge has been phenomenal. Wells, couple of bombs. Volpe, couple of bombs. Belly's been really good. Yankees lineup looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I just would not pitch to Aaron Judge if you're an opposing team, and then we'll find out. You just don't pitch to Judge. You got to be a moron to do that. This is going back to last year, and that was with Juan Soto in front of him. But yeah, those are different things. Bought the torpedo bats. Here's where it'll get changed, BT. If everybody else starts using them, which you know is going to happen, the Braves ordered them. We talked about the other teams that might be using them. If this becomes a thing and other teams are using them and we see the numbers inflated, that's when the rule will be, in my opinion, kind of corrected, or they'll change the parameters to where it'll go back to trying to level out the playing field. If the numbers don't get inflated, then I don't think there's going to be a rule change.
Could you imagine if this is just another one of these chapters that only baseball does this to us? I mean, the dead ball era, the steroid era, the torpedo bat era. I mean, can you imagine the lunacy behind this, the distortion of the record books? Again, it's early.
The juice ball, you know.
The juice ball, the dead ball.
Steroid, sign stealing, we've seen that. And now another spider tack and all
the
that
slippery
stuff.
Slippery people in baseball.
Mike is calling from Colonia. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Listen, great show. Love you guys. A couple points to make real quick. First of all, I don't know why they called a torpedo bat, because it looks nothing like torpedoes.
Hmm.
Torpedoes are all the way the same length, all the way down.
It looks more like a missile.
Exactly.
Who deemed it
torpedo bat? I'm just following the herd here with that. I mean,
I have no
missiles,
idea.
Torpedoes, what's the difference?
Yeah, I know. But the bottom line is, like we said, Volpe's only batting 167. He used it in the spring, too, so that doesn't matter. Like you said, I was thinking yesterday watching the game when I was scoring the game that, you know, you just got to get a shorter bat if you want to barrel it. The bottom line is you still got to barrel up the ball no matter what.
Yeah.
And I agree with what Sal said before. I would just throw everything outside. I mean, Volpe was always vulnerable to the outside pitch to begin with, down in a way. Now, if you don't have the barrel out there that far, you just got to pitch these guys with that bat outside. They're not going to do anything with it. There's no way. They just don't have the bat. You got to barrel it up no matter what you're using.
Thanks for the call, Mike. You wonder what, I was going to say what the good hitters of the past would say, but you kind of know what they would think. You know, Judge said he didn't need it specifically. And went, why not? Well, look at what I've done the last couple of years.
Yep.
I'm an animal. What do you mean need these torpedo bats? Come on. But I'm sure that, like, think of how many times a good hitter, BT, has reached for a ball on the outside part of the plate and flared one in a right field for a base hit, or vice versa, lefty flaring one in a left field for a base hit.
Yeah.
Guys hit 300 doing that on occasion. And with these bats, I don't think that would be possible, right?
Well, that's what I say before, right, where I think there's a greater vulnerability as you get away from it, obviously. Now, the rewards from the trademark in that area, maybe it's worth that. Yeah, I would love to hear what Ted Williams would say,
right,
or Tony Gwynn.
I know, unfortunately, neither is here.
You know, but listen. How about Boggs?
Ted is frozen. Boggs had a bad one.
How about Boggs? How about Rod Carew, who's still with us? How about Don Mattingly? How about George Brett?
Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody who knows, like, truly the art of hitting, I'm all ears. I'd love to hear it. We'll get another answer on these torpedo bats, Sal. We'll get back to the calls, obviously. That's the hot topic today on the show. Yankees have a plus 22 run differential off today. But then you've got the Diamondbacks. You've got Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly. Three pretty good arms. So if the Yankee bats still stay hot, you know, we'll see.
And then maybe, right, and then maybe the torpedo talk will start to calm down a little bit. See, for me, it's three games, number one. Number two, there is a... I'm getting the sense, now you're a Yankee fan, so maybe you could speak to this better than I can, although I know the Yankee fan very well. I'm getting the sense the Yankee fan is very excited about the offensive outburst without Soto. Still haven't gotten over Soto. That's still a theme here. And seeing all those runs scored and the home runs, everybody's feeling good about themselves. What I would be concerned about is this is nothing new. This is what the Yankees have done historically in the regular season. Okay, to that extent, yeah, it was big, it was historic, whatever. But that's not sustainable. It's not. And
No, I agree with that. There's no way that's sustainable.
Okay, so we could all agree that that's not sustainable. And you look at the one guy who you believe it might be sustainable with, it's not sustainable in October. That's my issue. Not to try to kick this season already to October. It's not even April yet.
But when you start
getting excited about that, see, for me, I look at little things. I look at the sloppy play, whether it's Jazz at second base, whether it's the errors at third base. Or whether it's Max Fried not being able to go out there and have a solid outing. Now, again, it's one outing. These are minimal things. But over the course of the three games, I'm looking to, yes, nitpick, sure, but also see what's sustainable, what's not.
Sure.
The hitting 800 home runs is not sustainable, and it's also not anything that we haven't seen before from this Yankee.
And it's also not necessary. Yeah, like, right. I'm telling you, the Yankee at-bats will be just much better this year. The lineup is longer. You know, I know they kicked it around the other day. To me, and again, we'll have to see where the season goes. To me, that's going to represent an anomaly. Goldschmidt could pick it. I think Jazz and Volpe are going to be great up the middle, turning double plays. You know I love the young catcher. Love him. Belly's good in center. Judge is really good around. I look at two spots right now at the team. You know, I want to see Dominguez get some action, and I want to see if he hits. And, you know, third base, when it's not Cabrera, I think could be, and not just because he had a couple errors the other day, I think that could be a little spotty. And then, of course, the Yankees starting pitching as they wait for Luis Gil.
Right.
They're going to have to, score some runs as they have. So it's a promising start. But the thing, what I, and not even just about the Yankees here, but I know it's inevitable and it's okay. But it's like every time, not us, because we do this for a living, we talk Yankees and Mets every day. But now here's what's going to happen on the national scene. All these dopes who know nothing about baseball, who don't care about baseball, it's like the one segment that baseball will get on national shows, PEDs, spider tack, torpedo bats, and like it really minimizes and marginalizes just how hard it is to hit a spherical object, whether you have a bat or a broom handle. It ain't easy. So, again, small data point, little bit of evidence. I can't wait to see where it goes. But the Yankees looked awesome.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Charles is in Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
I was leaving the
baseball field, actually, throwing a little bullpen on Friday, and I got in the car. I was listening to you guys talking about who at the station you think could hit 60 miles an hour. I think you guys left someone off, and I'll say this before I get to my real point, but I think you guys left someone off who might be able to win the whole thing, and that's Pat Boyle. I mean, he could probably get it up there.
He pitched in college. Patty's definitely cranking over 60, no question.
Unfortunate for Pat, he doesn't count.
Oh, that's not nice. Oh, that's hard.
No, I love Patty, but go ahead.
Yeah, but I was actually scrolling, and it's interesting. But I was scrolling on Twitter, or X they call it, whatever it is, and I see that the Yankees, they scored 36 runs this weekend against the Brewers. They did that last year against the Brewers. They scored 15, 15, and 6, so 36 runs in a three-game series against the Brewers last year. Maybe they just have a knack for hitting against the Brewers, but that was unbelievable what they did this weekend, and no bat, no matter what you did, was going to give you that type of production. It's just ridiculous what they were able to do.
Thanks for the call, Charles.
Yeah, no, and that kind of goes in line with what I'm saying. Like, again, when something happens out of the ordinary, it's like we can't accept it anymore. And I understand that, but that's because we're jaded.
All right, got to be a reason for it.
Yeah, we are largely jaded. Growing up, Sal, you and I, we know when we started watching the game, we do the baseball cards, we love baseball, we watch it every night, going back for decades. I didn't once sit there as a young baseball fan say, I wonder what what's Doc doing? Is it, well, it's just spin rate. What kind of grip? That's why Ron Say can't catch up with the high fastball. Well, Mattingly smoking 145 ribbies. Got to be cheating. Like, we accepted greatness back then, and maybe we were naive. I don't mean with Doc and Donnie, but maybe we were naive with certain things, certainly steroids early on of football. But wasn't it more enjoyable that way?
Yeah.
You could just enjoy what you're watching.
I'm naive, I admit that. But even with a guy like Mike Trout, it's like, I don't know. If you're that much better than everybody who's done it before, that's why I think Judge deserves a ton of credit, even the record-breaking year. I mean, did it open some eyes? Sure. Might have been part of the conversation. But for the most part, we feel like Judge is doing everything on the level, and he's just that much better than everybody else. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, we look at things now skeptically. Hoff just mentioned in my ear the Yankees hit 10 homers in that series last year against the Brewers. This year they hit 15, but still a barrage. I look at that outburst, and I mentioned the multiple factors. I think the Yankees are just that good. The ballpark, and then Nestor Cortez, he's the biggest problem.
He looked awful.
He was throwing batting practice. Come on, three pitches, three homers?
What was worse, the haircut or the BP room service fastballs?
Are you kidding me?
But he's going blonde now? Nestor, I mean,
you know, we talk about throwing 60 miles an hour. At that point, I'm watching Nestor, I'm thinking, I might be able to take him out of the yard. I mean, come on. He's throwing pus up there.
Just use a torpedo bat. You'll be in good shape. Right?
By the way, did you see Jake Bowers, the pitcher for – he was a position player who got in there and had a pitch for the Yankees?
Yeah, of course. He's played for the Yankees, Bowers.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
But he got in there and started pitching. It's on the point. I was going to bring this up later, but since the caller brought it up, I'll bring it up now.
Mm-hmm.
He was hitting like 65-ish.
By design, though.
Okay, but still.
Dude, I can promise you, there's no way an outfielder.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no chance.
He's a big league outfielder.
I don't know if he's cranking up to 90. I guarantee minimally he's mid-80s. He's a major leaguer. He's got a major league arm.
He's not even throwing 80?
And he wants to get hurt. I mean, he's just. Think about this.
So us going max,
yep.
All out just trying to rip your arm off to make sure we hit 60 on the gun, it still looked a little bit harder being that he was doing that. This guy's a big leaguer. He's young. He's in the prime of his career. He throws the ball all the time playing catch.
Uh-huh.
And he's hitting 65-ish.
Yeah, because I think what he's trying to do is, he doesn't have a 95-mile-per-hour arm, right? I mean, I could double-check the stat case. I actually will just for giggles. But so he's saying to himself, all right, what's the better way to get the hell out of here and just get back to the team hotel to try to groove an 89-mile-per-hour fastball that doesn't move to the best hitters in the world or get him off balance and throw a little meatball at 65? What do you think? I know the answer is 65 meatball.
It wasn't like he was, you know, lollipopping him in there.
I get it.
He wasn't throwing max velocity, clue, but he was winding up and just throwing it solidly.
He was throwing, if I had to guess, he was probably throwing about 70% max. I mean, 65 miles per hour for a major leaguer is, I could do that.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like.
There's no doubt I could do it.
I'm not so sure you can.
I promise you I can. I promise you I can. I can.
Even at this
age. I would stop short of saying 70. I was throwing BP on Friday. My elbow was the surgically repaired elbow.
Yeah.
Ironically, after I was talking all sorts of smack on the show. Yeah. Was not feeling great. So I got to start tapping the brakes
You're banged up. I think your mind is still in your prime. Yeah. Your body is not.
By the way, I don't have gout.
I don't have gout. So what is it?
I don't know. I got to go for an MRI. I have no idea.
This is what I mean. And you think you can hit 60 on the gun. I'm not so sure.
My left hand. My right hand's good. Right elbow's not good. Right hand's good.
Chris is in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I got to give you credit, Sal, because you're giving credit to the Yankees for being ahead of the curve on this. So many people crying about this. Dave Portnoy puts out a TikTok where he's crying about his Red Sox and the Yankees are cheating, even though everything about that bat is
get Devers a torpedo bat and a clue and some glasses so we can see the ball while you're at it. 12 strikeouts,
exactly.
Good start, buddy.
What I really wanted to say was it was a long winter of listening to Soto talk. It kind of diminished the fact that the Yankees were in the World Series. We had to listen to talk about Soto leaving the Yankees and are they going to be all right. And it was just a good weekend to see the Yankees hit 4,000 home runs. The money they spent that they would have spent on Soto was obviously well spent. And to see Soto go down with men on base in the ninth inning wasn't too bad.
Yeah, but see, this is what I'm talking about, Chris. You're a Yankee fan. You got to get over it, bro. He left you. He left you.
Oh, no, listen, I'm absolutely glad.
No, Chris, get over it. Let it go.
Val, seriously, they could not spend that money. It made sense for the Mets.
How'd Max Fried do?
Max Fried wasn't. He did have a great outing, but overall,
You said the money well spent. Thank you for the call. Max Fried wasn't very good in his first outing. Now, I happen to think Max Fried will be fine, but let's not make it like, it was clear the money was well spent. And you as a Yankee fan shouldn't even be talking about Soto. You shouldn't be worried about Soto. Again, BT, you got to speak to your Yankee fan brethren here. You're the outlier. Yeah. I'm still getting bombarded with that.
I don't know what to tell you. I know how I comport myself.
Get over it.
Like, the fandom... fandom is, I can't control them,
right.
And I'm not going to try to. They had to hear the song, the King Cohen.
Oh, but it all happened.
I understand it all happened, so you don't think that they were ready or couldn't wait to jump on you when the Yankees started?
Soto's done nothing wrong.
And by the way, the Yankees hitting 15 home runs and the Mets scoring no runs, both of those things are going to change.
The Mets,
almost,
I'm not so sure about.
Well, they're going to hit. I mean, eventually Lindor's going to realize it's not early anymore. He's going to hit. Soto's already hitting.
What about Alonso, Nimmo, and Vientos?
I don't know. I know we'll get to the Mets more later.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. And I see the tweets, and I see. Dude, I don't know why everything is intertwined. I watch the Mets. I do. Yeah. Let me take that back. I do get it. Some Yankee fans are still butthurt.
Correct.
Get over it.
Thank you.
Lineup is going to be really good.
Thank you. And
really
you could say, like, just say the Yankees lineup is going to be good. It doesn't have to be, ha-ha, we don't need Soto. Wrong. Because I guarantee you, that there will come a point, it might be October, it might be June, who knows, it might be this week, where you're going to say, damn, I wish we had Soto in the lineup. And I know that Yankee fans are smart enough to know the truth. The reality is you are hurt because you lost one of the best players. That's it. The good thing is you still have the best player in Aaron Judge on your team. Let's not make it like what Jazz is doing or, you know, anybody else is going to overcome the loss of Juan Soto, because it's not. You have to hope that it's going to be different this year, especially come October.
Now, when the Mets play the Yankees, if Soto has a rough weekend, I will take pleasure in that. I'll jump in on that.
That's a different story.
That is different. That's a little more personal. I don't wish him ill will. I think the Mets will be a good team. Not a great team, but a good team. And I don't think the Yankees will necessarily be great. I think that they could be great in spots, like I think the Mets could be great in spots. I think it's going to be a long race. There's a reason why I don't think either team wins 95 games. I think that the one thing that Yankee fans should enjoy right now, those of us, and this is one thing I definitely latched onto, and I didn't say it declaratively because I didn't know for sure, and it's still early, so this is not a bow. I did say when he left Soto that the Yankees have a chance to build a deeper lineup. You don't replace Soto. You're not going to ever. We can watch baseball for 50 more years. You will never get, I don't think, the Judge Soto or Soto Judge recreation from a year ago. That's fine. Amazing. I enjoyed it. It's over. But suddenly, 1-9 looks a lot different, and not just because of the bat.
BT, it's set well. Yeah, I mean, we don't know.
Well, did Judge use it?
No, that's what I'm saying. But Judge is still a beast.
Yeah.
BT, and so is Soto. Both things can be true. That's the whole point. Soto's a different animal. He's with the Mets. The Yankees still have a great team. We're going to find out. It's a long season.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Vellani and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.